So this is Ephesians 3, verse 14. When I think of all this, this is Paul writing to the church, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father, which is typically not a position that Paul was a Pharisee, trained as a Pharisee. It's not typically a position you'd find this guy in. They usually stood up, raised their hands, and talked to God. That's prayer. Stand up, raise your hands, talk to God. But apparently he wanted them to know that when he thinks about them, he falls to his knees and prays to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray this. What an amazing blessing to have somebody pray this way for you. I pray this, that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it's too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Quite a prayer, huh? I mean, that's that. Start praying that way for people, and you'll notice that the whole tenor of your voice changes, your expectations change, your faith rises. So in a couple other versions, in the ESV, it says it this way, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, which is that's the phrase that a lot of us have heard over the years. And then it also says in the NIV, being rooted and established in love. David Wilkerson, the prophetic voice, is he passed away? Oh, yeah. I thought so, yeah. He had a church in New York, ministered a long time in Texas, has had a strong prophetic voice when prophetic voices weren't really accepted in the world. He stood out. I remember at Shekinah reading a book called Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth, I think. And it was a warning of what was going to happen in the 80s or 90s or something like that, which all the things that he said about pretty much happened in the book. Anyway, he said this, rooted and grounded here means built under you a deep and stable foundation of knowing and understanding the love of God to you. In other words, the knowledge of God's love to you is the foundational truth upon which all other truths must be built. So we talked about trusting in God last week. You'll find that what we talked about last week in trusting in him and being rooted through our trusting in him is a big part of what this scripture is talking about today. So what does it mean to be rooted and grounded in love? Paul talks about the truth of Christ's love almost as a side note here. It's like he talks about tithing or marriage in the New Testament. There's really not a whole lot about it. The reason is because he thinks that you already get that part. It's not because it's not important. He thinks that you already understand that giving to God and your marriage relationships and the importance of that covenant, he already thinks, well, we get that. So it's the same way with love here. He assumes that we understand Christ's love. So it's kind of like a side note here. But notice how he moves from the idea of Christ will make his home in your hearts to the state where your roots grow down deep into his love. He makes a connection there. It's one thing to hear about his love or to study about his love or watch his love in other people, but it's a whole other thing to experience his love. And it's kind of an elusive thing. I mean, I think most of us would say that there was a point at which we experienced his love. For me, it was about 6 months after I was married. Jody and I moved to Everett to pursue careers. In the middle of the night one night, I was reading the book of Revelation for the first time, and all of a sudden God started speaking to me. And it wasn't about the book of Revelation, but it was in the context of that book. And I got to admit, I was pretty freaked. I mean, you read Revelation at midnight sometime, and for the first time, and see what you think as a young believer. But I was like, whoa, what is this? What are they saying? And what are the implications of all this? And so I was reading it, and the Lord said, I want you to move back to Longview. I want to go back to the church, and I want you to reconnect with your family because I need you there. And so I did it. It wasn't real popular with Jody. I had just moved her out of her comfort zone up into another place and set up camp in Everett. And here I was saying, I think we're supposed to move back. We've only been up here 4 months. So my boss was a very aggressive young, nicely dressed executive, and he had done a lot of work to get me there through the interview process. And I showed up in his office and I said, "Brad, I feel like I'm supposed to leave." And he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, nothing's wrong. I just, and all of a sudden, I just became the like faith man. Boldness came over me, and I said, I'm a Christian, and I felt like God spoke to me and told me that I was supposed to go back to Longview." And I thought, and I took a couple steps back and thought, "Here it comes. You're one of them. I heard about you." He didn't say that at all. He said, "Well, hardly anybody here knows, but I'm a Christian too, and I'm amazed that you're doing this. I am so proud of you for choosing to do what God's told you to do." And so it was a huge step for me. That was the first time I really experienced God's love. And it was connected with trusting him and having faith in him. And it wasn't because I read love stories about Jesus. It was because he and I engaged at that point. We connected. I needed him and I trusted him, and he was speaking to me and I was listening and responding. And so those kind of things, those kind of moments are really powerful. I've heard some really incredible stories about people and the first time they really trusted God that way. And sometimes it doesn't work out the way that we think it's going to work out, but it doesn't mean that it's not God's leading and guiding us. So anyway, the experience is really important. That's the point of that story. Experience is important. This is Paul's prayer for his brothers and sisters in Ephesus, that they experience God's love through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So whatever I experienced that night was God speaking to me. It was the indwelling Holy Spirit communicating the heart of God to me and leading and guiding me. It says the Spirit guides our steps. In Psalms and Proverbs, it says that he's a light for our path and he guides us. The Lord guides us. And that was what was happening. So look what it says in Romans chapter 5, where Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says this, "And this is the hope, and this hope will not disappoint, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us this, the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. This is what it says in the Passion Translation, which is a little bit juicier sometimes. "This hope is not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us." That's the experience we're after. Now, charismatics, Pentecostals get a bad rap for experience. I mean, they want experience. And I never back away from that. I want to experience God. And I think if you can experience God and you say no to that, you're an idiot. If he will allow you to have an experience with him, and you say, no, that's another dispensation. That is not what I believe. That is not important right now. I have the Bible. That's all I need. I'm like, you're an idiot. I'll take everything I can get. I want it all. I want to know. I want to experience. I want to understand. I want to have a deeper comprehension of it, but I don't want to say no to anything. So this whole idea of experience the endless love of God cascading into my heart through the Holy Spirit, yes, I'm in for that. I want that. So through the Holy Spirit, we experience firsthand his love in our hearts. It's kind of like when I talk about my wife and my love for her, it's hard to put that into words. Because I can tell you how I feel about her, but you don't know the depths of those feelings. You don't know the times we've had together where there's been friction and we've got through it together and we've pulled through those times. You don't know the times we've looked at each other and felt hope because of the look in her eyes. You don't know how terrified I've been at times of her. And just that same look that terrifies me, like she is an animal. She is not a woman to be messed with. But that's love too. That's part of my relationship. That's part of my love that I feel for her. It's deep respect for her, you know, because she is a woman of faith and she will do what the Lord tells her to do, even if I don't agree necessarily with that. She is powerful. So it's hard for me to communicate that. And what it basically comes down to, it's more than a feeling. And I'm not going to sing the song, but it's right there in my mind. You know. Anyway, it's more than a feeling. It's not just, I feel this way about my wife. It's, I feel this way. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. It should be more than just something you put into words. It should be indescribable. It should be so amazing that you struggle with trying to communicate it to somebody. It shouldn't be easy to come up with a quick and simple answer for the love of God. And so when it talks about being rooted and grounded in love, this is a big deal. This is not something that you just quickly breeze over. So if you ever wonder whether you've really experienced the love of God, just ask him to do this. Ask him to do Romans 5:5 with you. Ask him to tell him you want an experience of endless love, the endless love of God cascading into your heart through the Holy Spirit. He'll be faithful. He'll give it to you. He'll give you that. If you ask him for that, he'll give it to you. So this whole idea of being rooted and grounded is a mixed metaphor. Rooted is an agricultural term. Grounded is a construction term. Rooted has to do with plants sending their roots into the soil and bearing fruit. You know, it's all that whole process. Any of you who are gardeners know that this is a mystery, how you can plant some things and they come up and flourish, and how you can plant other things and they don't do so well, and you have to start from scratch again, or how, you know, you plant some things in this soil and they grow great over here, not so great. You know, or how you plant them over here, and it looks like they're growing great, and the deer come and eat them. You know, it's just like, it's a mystery, the whole gardening thing. And I can see, in fact, Dan was telling me about this bacteria thing. He said there's a bacteria in dirt. This is going to thrill you, gardeners. There's a bacteria in dirt that is actually a treatment that actually treats depression. That actually, there's a bacteria in dirt that will actually, it can serve as a treatment for depression. So next time you're in the garden, just stir up a little dust. Take a big deep breath and feel better about life. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but apparently the people who have looked at bacteria know that. So it's a mixed metaphor. You can begin to grow and flourish and bear fruit when you're talking about sending your roots down deep. The word translated grounded in here is used for the foundation of a house. You're established on a foundation, a firm foundation. It talks about establishing things on something firm. So it talks about rooting and grounding, a mixed metaphor in this one sentence. And I think Paul was after something here. He was saying that it's not just about being rooted. It's not just being about grounded. It's about both. This is a big deal. I want you to understand that your relationship with God's love is powerful, and I want you to comprehend that. So he is using every literary tool he could think of to get these people connected with what they were trying, what he was after as far as calling them to go deeper in their love for God. So that's what Paul's praying. He's talking about the root and the foundation. The word of God ties strengthening with the power of the Spirit in verse 16 of Ephesians 3 with through faith in verse 17. So we need this. We're desperate to see ourselves being strengthened through the faith of the Holy Spirit to see this deepening happen. It happens through faith. It happens through the Holy Spirit. There's a really strong connection there. So he says, I pray from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That's where it starts out. He's asking God to empower us through his unlimited resources with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, like we talked about last week. Another word for trust in it, one of the other translations says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, in your hearts through faith. Pastor Brian Jay says, to love the Lord with every fiber of our being is the great privilege and joy of every true believer in Christ. It's the primary motivation of our worship, service, obedience, and daily life with each other. And then John Piper has this one quote. Everybody always talks about this when it talks about going deeper with God. And he wrote a book called... I can't remember. Anyway, he wrote a really, really popular, famous book, and it was all about Christian hedonism, which sounds like a weird term. I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, that's an odd way to put it. Hedonism is just enjoying something, giving yourself completely to something. You can give yourself something evil. You can give yourself to something good. He's talking about Christian hedonism, which means giving your complete self to God, giving him everything of who you are and taking everything of who he is. That's what he's talking about. He said this, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And that's the place to live. That's where you want to live your life. And that's part of being deeply rooted and grounded in love, is that you are most, that he looks the best in your life when you're the most satisfied in him. And I don't mean satisfied like complacent satisfied, but satisfied like you're all I need, Jesus. I don't need anything else. I don't want anything else. I just want you at the deepest level I can possibly get you. So the next question here, is there a link between God's love for us and our love for others? Because I think this is a natural transition. What are the two great commandments? Love God and love each other. If that's what Jesus said is most important, then whatever, when we do tap into his love, it's for something. It's not just so that we can just like suck as much love as we possibly can. You know, the reality is you can only hold so much and then you start leaking. And God wants Christians who leak all the time. He wants us to be drawn up so much that we're passively leaking everywhere we go. He doesn't want you to preach the gospel. He wants you to be the gospel. I know he says preach the gospel at all times. Try that give that a shot. It's better to fill yourself up with him and leak all the time everywhere you go. That's much better. That's really what it means to preach the gospel all the time, because you're preaching, you're demonstrating the glory of God all the time. So there's some link with other people in this too. Jesus loves us more than we can possibly understand or comprehend. That's the truth. And in spite of that, we still make it our goal to comprehend him and understand him at deeper levels. I mean, we know that he loves us, but we still want more. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that we're called as believers to go as deep as we can. And tomorrow we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to go as deep as we can. And next week we're going to go as deep as we can. It's not like you've arrived ever at this place where you can just relax and enjoy it. We're supposed to enjoy every day. Our pursuit is where the joy is found. So in Ephesians 3:16-17, again, it's talking about us pursuing God this way. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down deep into his love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. Paul's saying it right here. Even though you may never get there, still go. Even though you may never understand it completely, still want to. Desire it with all your heart to understand him at the deepest level you can possibly go. So we pray that by sending our roots down into the depths of his love, we'll begin to understand his love more. And but the reality is, it's not enough to just know it or observe it in others, but we need to be rooted in it. There needs to be a connection there with us. And I hope that what you're hearing is that it's not about you working at this. It's about the intentionality of our heart. What are the intentions of our heart? Do we want to be as deep as possible with him? Then we trust the Holy Spirit within us to do the mechanics of that. We position ourselves well to be rooted and grounded in his love. I mean, you can say that you want to be rooted and grounded in his love and spend 16 hours a day on TV. That's probably not, that's a bit of hypocrisy there. You can say that you want to be rooted and grounded in love and never have any relationship with any other believers. That's probably hypocrisy as well, because we're going to see that in just a second. But there, as far as these links between connecting Jesus' love for us and our love for each other, there's a couple links to this. One of them is faith and the other one is the Holy Spirit, and both are found in this section of scripture that we're looking at. It says, and both of them are really knit together in Galatians, the book of Galatians. And we'll read that just a bit. So faith, look in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 6, and it says this: when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there's no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What's important is, so when we put our faith in Jesus, there's no benefit in outward expressions of how much we love him. What's important is faith expressing itself in love. How do we get that faith expressing itself in love? How does Jesus connect us with the salvation he's accomplished? Just by faith. And faith means trusting in his forgiveness, leaning on his promises, and cherishing the fellowship we have with him. Now, what makes verse 6 so remarkable is that the faith that connects us with Jesus and lets us access his justification is the faith that's rooted in his love. So when we begin to understand through faith that he loves us, we are actually being rooted. That is the being rooted. It has to come through faith. You can't work yourself up into going deeper with God. You can't come to enough church services to go deeper with him. You can't just stand there and go deeper, 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 deeper. I want to go deeper, 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 deeper. My advice to you at that point would be just stop talking, sit down, and think about the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within you and wants to help you get there. It's not about trying harder. It's about saying yes. It's about being intentional in love, intentionally in love. Jody would have never, ever said yes to me marrying her had I not been intentional about my love for her. And she would have never bought into writing notes to her, telling her how much I loved her. She wouldn't even believe it when I said it. Because her thought was, how many people have you said that to? She had to have a personal experience with that that caused her to trust and believe that what I was saying was true. Now, we can do that with God through the Bible, but we can also do that through our experiences with him too. I mean, he can show you his love in profound ways, but it's about faith. It's about believing in what he's doing. You can have a amazing worship time, a time in worship where you connect with God and walk out and scream and yell at your kids and cuss at the guy who cut you off driving home. And we can change so quickly. And yet, if we're rooted and grounded in love, it should have kind of a lasting effect. It should be harder to be mean. It should be easier to be nice. There should be a love that and compassion that wells up inside of us because of our experience with God. I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you're not perfect. I'm telling you, you can't perform your way into this. You can't be good enough. You need the Holy Spirit and faith in the Holy Spirit to do this. So look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, then 22 and 23. You've been called, I have to admit, the first part of the scripture is a little rough. So hold on. Wait till the end. It's worth it when you get to the end. You've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Bad. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But you're always biting and devouring each other. But if you're doing that, biting and devouring each other, watch out. Beware of destroying each other. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. But the Holy Spirit produces fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. You can't do this on your own. It takes faith, and it takes the Holy Spirit working together. Faith and the Holy Spirit working together is how we get rooted and grounded in his love. That's where the rooting happens. That's how we go deeper with him. So the Holy Spirit's a link between the love Jesus has for us and our love for each other. Faith is the link between Christ's love for us and our love for each other. So how do these two things link together? I believe there's a common root. There's a common root. That if you look at a plant, I just bought some grapes recently. I don't know anything about grapes. I just thought it'd be cool to have some. I thought it'd be cool to walk out in the backyard, pick off a cluster of grapes, and just eat them on a chair. I mean, sit in the backyard and eat grapes. That sounds like a great thing to do. You have to grow them, I guess. And they start out with plants, and you go buy a plant, and it's a little tiny plant, so a little stick with a little green thing coming out of it, whatever they're called. It's a little stick with a green thing. That's the beginning of a grape plant. So I bought a couple of them at the school garden sale. And planted them in the ground, but then I was impatient. So I went down to Gray's Garden and I got a more mature grape plant because I wanted to get this thing going. And I went down there and there were like six different varieties of seedless grapes. And some of these little plants had grapes on them. I mean, lots of grapes in clusters. And I thought, I'm buying one of these that's already got the grapes. I'm just one step ahead. I may fail with these other stick plants, but this is like, I have a chance at actually having some grapes soon. So I bought this plant, and it's funny because it didn't cost any more for that one than the two little stick plants. But anyway, so I got this, so I took it out, and I really didn't know what I was doing, and I took it out of the container, and there was this root, this huge root that wrapped itself around the bottom. So I immediately went to where all good gardeners go when they don't know the truth, and that's YouTube, and found huge amounts of information about planting these plants and about this thing called a taproot. And so they said, don't leave it in that little ball and thing. Take it out, stretch it out, give it some room to grow, because that root is what's going to take care of everything else on top. And I thought, that's so much like what we're talking about here. Being rooted in him is letting the taproot that connects our the faith in the Holy Spirit with us, our love for God with our love for each other. It's the thing that connects everything. The Holy Spirit is this link. He's like the taproot that connects faith, not just for our love with God, but our love for each other too. And so if the love of the fruit of the Spirit and the love of the fruit, if love is the fruit of the Spirit, and if love is the fruit of faith, then they must have a common root, and that common root is love. That's why I put this picture in here that you saw earlier. I just like the little heart down below where it has little bunches of roots. Actually, the root system is pretty dramatic, I think, in our relationships with God. Not quite like that, but so the Holy Spirit is the key to this thing. You can see that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation because I like it. What has happened to you, Galatians, by acting so stupidly? I love that. This makes me feel at home. This is the way life is like. You must have been under some evil spell to have missed the revelation of truth. Didn't God open your eyes to see the meaning of Jesus' crucifixion? Wasn't he revealed to you as the manifestation of wisdom? So answer me this. This is his question to them. Did the Holy Spirit come to you as a reward for keeping all the laws, all the Jewish laws? Is that how the Holy Spirit came, as a reward for keeping all the laws, or as a gift because you believed in the Messiah? Your new life in Christ began with the Holy Spirit giving you a new birth. Why then would you so foolishly turn from living in the Spirit to becoming slaves again to your flesh or living under the law? Do you really think that you can bring yourself to maturity in Christ without the Holy Spirit? Have you endured all these trials and persecutions for nothing? Let me ask you again, what does the lavish supply of the Holy Spirit in your life and the miracles of God's tremendous power have to do with keeping religious laws? What does the Spirit have to do with the law? The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us through the revelation and power of faith by not keeping the law. Not by keeping the law, I'm saying. No, by not keeping the law. No, that's wrong. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us through the revelation and power of faith, not by keeping the law. It's not by keeping the law. So basically he's saying you can't perform your way into going deeper with God. You can't do more. You can't act holier. You can't just be there all the time. And every time the door's open to the church, you're there and you're just there. But you're not, there's no engagement. You have to engage. There's been a huge exodus of people away from the church because the church seems irrelevant to a lot of people and hypocritical and sloppy and messy, and it's just easier to follow God in my backyard because it's less complicated. I understand part of that. Being part of a local congregation is messy. There's all kinds of expectations that are unrealistic. And then there's expectations we have that are very biblical and very realistic, but it just seems like nobody is on the same page and it's not all moving together. And I go, I'm like, try shepherding this stuff for a while. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It'll make you crazy because you know what the book says. You know what experience says. You know what people's hearts are like, including my own. And it doesn't really add up to clean and easy and, you know, simple. It's hard. It's complicated. You're all so complicated. And I'm complicated. And so we're all living together on this journey together, trying to discover this together and celebrate it together. And yet we hurt each other and offend each other and let each other down. Sometimes we're nice to each other and we celebrate that. And we pray for each other and it seems like more people don't get healed than get healed, but we keep praying and we worship together and sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. And I guess what I'm saying is we can't be rooted in the church. We got to be rooted in Him. Amen. We got to be rooted in Him because being rooted in Him helps us put up with each other, helps us get through this stuff together. It helps us inspire each other and encourage each other when we don't really feel like an inspiring, encouraging anybody. I got to be honest with you. Most of the time, I'm not a really great guy. I know that's surprising. I'm just, there's nothing special about me. And yet I want to be like Jesus. I mean, I really do. I don't know how to do that. I'm trying the best I can, but this is an impossible task that we have, trying to represent into the world. I think we should practice here before we go out there. I think we should try to do a good job here before we go out there. Because, you know, I want the world to know Him. Yes. I don't want them to come to church. I want them to know Him. I want them to go as deep as they can possibly go. So you can sense Paul's frustration with the Galatian churches in here. Not just because they're turning away from faith and trying to justify themselves by works, but they're trying to perform their way into God's love and His favor. So let's just go back. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, in order for us to do the first two commandments, love God and love each other, we have to be deeply rooted and grounded in Him. We have to be. Because the only way that we're going to be a blessing to the people around us is if Jesus leaks out of us, if His love leaks out of us, there's so much coming into us that it leaks out of us. So let's go back to being rooted and grounded in love. Tap into His love. Now, I just want to read one more version, I want to read the section we've been looking at today only through the Passion Translation. Just because Ian uses this word, juice. Well, I want to give this thing some juice. We saw some juice today, and I'm like, what the? I don't know what he's talking about. Apparently, it's the Holy Spirit actively engaging with us. So I like this because it gives a little of juice to Ephesians 3. So listen to what it says. Just listen. So when I think of the wisdom of His plan, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. Oh, this makes you want to fall in love with Him. And I pray that He would pour out over you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. See this? By constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And get this, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Not good? The resting place of His love. God's love doesn't strive. There's a rest in His love. And when you experience, like when I had that experience with God late at night in the book of Revelation and heard Him say, I want you to go back to Longview for your church, your family, and your or something. I don't know. I want you to move back. It was like, I wasn't worried. It was okay. It was going to be okay. I felt like it was going to be okay. I felt like there was this rest in the whole thing. And sometimes that's a really good indication that you're rooted and grounded and it's something that God wants you to do, is that there's a rest about it. Sometimes we really struggle with even doing the best things, the things that are even biblical, the things that we've been taught to do and encouraged and inspired to do from the pulpit. And yet we still don't have rest. I think sometimes it's hard to figure out what God wants you to do. It's even harder to figure out the timing behind what He wants you to do. Sometimes it's just not the right timing. It's the right plan, but the wrong timing. And there's nothing worse than knowing that you've got the right plan and you're behind. You've just missed this window of opportunity. When God's given you an opportunity, he's given you timing, and you've been, for whatever reason, fearful or just lazy, you just haven't taken the opportunity when it came by, because there's these kairos moments that sometimes are fleeting. You really have to pay attention as a Christian to what God's doing in you and around you, because sometimes he lays these open doors and he wants you to walk through them. It's no more than a step, but it may be a while before that door comes around again. So you really have to pay attention. And being rooted and grounded in his love is a big part of pain. I was reading a scripture, and I'm going to go back to that. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows and grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. I love that. This is what every holy one experiences: the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and how far-reaching his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. I think that's the life. I think this is why we're supposed to live. This has nothing to do with following rules. It has nothing to do for showing up to meetings. It has everything to do with whatever it is you encounter between you and him. And I am encouraging with all my heart, go deeper with him. Go deeper with him. Set your roots in the direction of God's love and let the Holy Spirit, through faith, begin to extend you down into his love, and so that you can draw this stuff up. When you start drawing it up, go ahead and try to shut it off. You won't want to, and you can't. That's why, you know, we've seen these experiences where people tap into this love and they start shaking. I remember this experience when we were at Father's house and the gap, and there were manifestations of his spirit, and people would come up to me and say, "Is that God or is that demonic?" And my first response was, "Well, you try doing that. See how long you last." This is something that is coming from a source of energy and strength inside people that they don't really control. You know, they're just letting God be God. And some of it is, I think some of those experiences are where we really experience for the first time being rooted and grounded in him. We can't explain it. It's embarrassing. We don't know what to do. I've seen some crazy things happen under the power of the Spirit. But I've seen people's lives change by it too. They go deeper with him and deeper with him and deeper with him. So I'm not trying to encourage you that that's the way or speaking in tongues is the way. I think the Holy Spirit is the way, period. The Holy Spirit through faith is the way. But we have to be intentional. I had to take that taproot and unwind it and let it have some room to grow. That's what we're doing today. So let's just stand together.